Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
She is one of my favorite people in the world, and I'm so glad she is here. Honored to have the great Victoria Stilwell with us. Her latest book is called The Secret Language of Dogs. It's a secret. I can't talk about it really loud. Unlocking the Canine Mind for a Happier Pet. It's a secret, Victoria, but you will divulge the secret.
I know. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, it is wonderful because dogs actually, I think an explanation for 90% of their behavior, a whole lot of their behavior, is just kind of how they are hardwired, which is different than us.
Of course. Absolutely. And the fact is that dogs are dogs. And they've always been dogs and they always will be dogs. And it's just taking people a very long time to truly figure them out.
You know, one thing I've always been fascinated about is that I walk in the house, maybe I've been gone a couple of hours. Our dogs know it's me. They can see it's me. If I say hello to them, they know my voice, I suspect, and they can hear it's me. But still, they're not positive until they've smelled me to absolutely confirm it's me.
Their world is dominated by their amazing sense of smell, which is immeasurably superior to ours. And the average human nose has about 5-6 million scent receptors. And the average dog nose has around 200 to 300 million scent receptors. And so their world is literally dominated by smell.
How does that make them different than us? I kind of described one way. So if you're walking into a room, I'd look at you, I'd know it's you, and I'd say, hey, and have a conversation. If my dog or your dog greets you, your dog, as I said, has got to confirm it's you, even though your dog knows it's you, by getting a good smell. Can we not even comprehend, in a sense, so to speak, the way that they see or smell their world?
Well, that is the way, smell is the way that they gather social information from either the person or the other dog or other animal they're smelling. And for example, people always ask me, well, if dogs have got such a great sense of smell, why do they smell each other's behind? Which is, yeah, it's a great question. And the reason is that dogs will, in those areas, they have certain glands, and those glands have pheromones, and those pheromones contain chemical messages giving information to the smeller about the dog they're smelling. And that could be age, it could be health, it could be whether this dog is male or female, has this dog just eaten. You know, that's what we think is going on when dogs are smelling each other. And interestingly enough, research has shown that male dogs normally greet first by smelling each other's behind, whereas female dogs, when they greet other dogs, will normally greet via the face-to-face contact first before sniffing the behind.
Does that say something about guys?
Oh, it absolutely does, but I can't say it.
So dogs have all of this potential wrapped up in their nose, and we are beginning to understand what this potential can do. So I talked to an OBGYN, and many of them over the years, actually, who have said, I'm pretty good at doing what I do, or those tests that you could buy at a drugstore that can determine, I guess they turn either pink or they turn blue to indicate that, oh my gosh, I'm having a baby. But actually, a dog often knows first.
They do. And, you know, you probably heard that dogs can smell fear. And it is true. They can smell many different things. And when we're fearful, we have an adrenaline going through our body, and cortisol, the stress hormone, is released, prepares our body for fight or flight. And dogs can smell that. So similarly, we're in love, and we have we have a sort of an influx of oxytocin in our bodies, and or a release of oxytocin, the hormone, which is our kind of love bonding hormone. That in itself as well, believe that dogs can smell that as well. And, you know, they can smell other things. That's why they're so good at assisting people that have diabetes, and also in for seizure alert dogs for detecting if a seizure is imminent.
Victoria Stilwell, hold on. You'll be back with us. We'll talk to you more, I promise, from It's Me or the Dog.
She is from It's Me or the Dog. On Animal Planet, Victoria Stilwell, the secret language of dogs, unlocking the canine mind for a happier pet. And I think there are some even misconceptions that many of us have who have lived with dogs our entire lives. What a dog is trying to tell us. And those misinterpretations, because after all, we are two species, very much bonded in many ways, but still two species speaking a different language, can miscommunications often occur?
They can. They can. And, you know, for example, well, we might misread dog's body language. So when a dog is licking its lips, for example, or when a dog is yawning, doesn't necessarily mean that the dog is hungry or the dog is tired. Licking lips and yawning can be a stress signal. And it can be done in times where the dog feels very uncomfortable. So, or the dog is over-aroused, or the dog is in a situation where it doesn't feel, feels a little nervous. So those are kind of examples of body language that we can misinterpret.
And depending on how we respond to those misinterpretations, it can lead us down a pretty messy road, and the dog is thinking, oh, what's up with that person? Let me give you one example of what I mean. Let's say the dog is, I don't know, barking at somebody and you think the dog is being a bad dog, but the dog is actually being a fearful dog for whatever reason, which really doesn't matter for the purpose of this conversation, but the dog is afraid. But you think the dog is just being bad and you reprimand the dog. Bad dog, you're bad, that kind of thing. And people do. We are, after all, only people. We tend to do that. Are we actually then making matters worse because we're not taking the time or just maybe don't have the understanding to sit back and say, okay, this is why my dog is doing this?
Yes, that is a real problem. And of course, human nature to go stop it or get angry when your dog lunges at another dog or barks at another dog. And it's also embarrassing as well. But ask why. I always tell people, ask why. Why is the behavior happening? Is your dog fearful of that other dog? Is your dog frustrated that it can't get to the other dog to say hello? Find out why, and then you'll be able to make the behavior better or teach the dog an alternative behavior. But yes, reprimanding the dog can make things worse because now dog sees dog, you've reprimanded it. It now makes an association between seeing that other dog and your reprimand. Now it sees another dog, and now all dogs mean bad things. So you have to be really, really careful.
So we've actually, if we follow this and we've done what many people do, you know, I understand that too. As you point out, it is embarrassing, and we are, after all, only human, unfortunately, at times. So if we do this, can we actually cause a behavior problem where there previously really wasn't?
Yes, you can. You can cause a dog to become a lot more reactive because now it's made a very negative association. And that's the same thing, you know, when you're using prong collars or bad things on the dog's neck and, you know, the dog lunges at another dog and you give it a leash jerk. And now the dog's in pain. Well, now it's going to associate pain with lunging at the other dog. Now dogs, other dogs equal pain happening to it. So there you go. Another negative association. That's why you have to be so careful, and that's why when applying punishment, that's why I don't agree with punishment. We need to give our dogs guidance and say what they can and can't do, but harsh punishment is not the way to go. You can make the problem worse.
Well, I want to talk a little about that. So in The Secret Language of Dogs, you really write about canine communication to other dogs, to people, and in some places even to other species. And it's an important read and really fascinating, by the way. Victoria Stilwell is the author of the book and who I'm speaking to on the phone. But you do write about a bit in the book, and I've not had a conversation with you, I don't believe. In fact, your website is positively.com, where we don't talk a bit about positive reinforcement dog training. So with the little bit of time we have left, how important is that?
It is. It's important for your relationship. It's important for the success of your dog in your domestic environment. Dogs have evolved with us for thousands of years, but they're still dogs, and they're still living in your home with weird two-leggers that they don't truly understand. We need to take the time to understand them. It's the reason why I wrote that book. It's an easy read. It's easy for people to understand. Once you understand your dog, you can live a better life with them, and it's going to be much easier for you and much easier for your dog.
And I do agree that sometimes our dogs don't understand us. But having said that, I also think that overall, our dogs understand us better than we understand them, as smart as we are supposed to be. That is just my opinion.
I agree with you, Steve. I agree. I think, you know, again, evolution, our dogs have had to learn how to survive with us. If you think about it, they're the most successful domestic species on the planet because they've aligned themselves with the most dangerous predator on the planet, which is man. That's pretty smart.
doesn't speak so well of us. The name of the book is The The Secret Language of Dogs. But it doesn't say that. You should have retitled this book The Secret Language of Dogs, Unlocking the Canine Mind for a Happier Pet. It is Victoria Stilwell. Vic, thanks for all you do.
Thank you so much for having me on again.
So I thank Victoria Stilwell. I always thank Victoria Stilwell. You are absolutely wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A topic that's been brought up, it's been in the news in Chicago. I just want to talk about it for a second, but essentially I have no comment. It's about this whole no-kill initiative that Alderman Ray Lopez wants. And I think we all do in animal welfare. It's the details are always the issue, right? So we're kind of working on things and working things out, a group of us, and the city is as well. It's good news. We're moving in the right direction. For now, I will leave it at that, but I couldn't ignore the issue. Here's something I don't want to ignore. It's diabetes awareness. So November was Diabetes Awareness Month, and there is an epidemic, I think that's a fair enough word, of diabetes in cats. It's also up in dogs, and diabetes is two different things here. So in cats, it's very much related to the increase of obese and overweight cats. In dogs, I don't think anybody knows there's a genetic predisposition. I don't think anybody knows because they are two different types of diabetes. But for both types, I'm talking about this because there's a fairly new test for fructosamine. It's something that is looked for in the blood that is an easy enough test for veterinarians. And the reason why I want you to ask your veterinarian about this is, especially if you have a cat, you take out the carrier and what happens? The cat is in the next county, right? Well, by the time you stuff the cat in the carrier, drive to the veterinary clinic, and the cat is going all the way there, you get to the clinic office, you have a completely stressed out cat, well, the blood work is going to be skewed. I mean, and the veterinarian can only make a best guess as to what he or she thinks. But if they look at fructosamine rather than glucose levels, which is typically what they do look for, it's a better indicator long term, going back weeks, of how this cat has been feeling. So fructosamine, it's a secret word for you to remember and a very long word, is in some cases, I don't want to say a better indicator, but in some ways it is. It's a more valid indicator of what's going on with your cat or dog as far as diagnosing that pet with diabetes. So that's something new. I like to talk about new things that are going on. A new thing going on WGN Plus is a recent podcast that was just launched. That's what he used to do on the radio. He used to say that, Fred Winston. Well, we've launched a new campaign. And he'd go, the one and only Fred Winston. I had a crazy conversation with my old friend years ago. I produced his radio show at WCFL. I'm not even sure. It does not exist as WCFL anymore. But we had a fun conversation. And I know many of you have grown up listening to the great radio personality, Fred Winston. So what's Fred doing these days? And what's he up to? And we talked about that, but we also reminisced a bit about some of the favorite interviews and some of his favorite radio personalities who worked with him back in the day, people like Larry Lujack. You want to hear behind-the-scenes stories about Lujack? Listen to the podcast, and you're thinking, well, it sounds great. Where can I hear it? You can go to WGNplus.com. You can find it there or on my blog, stevedale.tv. And I post these podcasts every once in a while. It's called Steve Dale's Other World, not necessarily about pets, just about good stuff. So I hope you listen to the podcast with Mr. Fred Winston, the man who did things in the studio that measured on the Richter scale. What were those things? Listen to the podcast and find out. Pets are an important part of your family. We also talk with Fred about pets, by the way. He is involved with Maltese Rescue. So here is Fred with his big booming voice carrying around the little Maltese. We talked about a time when I saw Fred in the neighborhood because we live near one another, and I heard him like three blocks away. And he was all wound up in all these leashes that some older women were out walking the dog with, and Fred was there in the middle of the day, and all these leashes are wound around him. Listen to the podcast. You'll hear that story and others.